And it's interesting to me, you know, even with President Trump's speech the other night, it was a great speech. But this is what's always interesting to me when somebody gives a speech, is they get all excited about the speech. Because it either they said what you wanted them to say or how people responded emotionally to it. I like good speeches, but I want to see some action. I want to see the speech being turned into, that's when I get excited. And so the Antichrist spirit knows how to prey on the emotions of people, to engage with their emotions to get you hooked. Satan did this in the garden. And he continues the same thing over and over. Our emotions need to come in line with truth. I know this kind of opens up a whole big, real topic here. But it's extremely important. I mean, we make decisions all day long. People make decisions on church to go, on how it makes them feel. Where to go, where to shop, where to live. So much is based, because our whole society is based on emotion and feeling, for the most part. Our commercials. Look at what's happening in society. People don't want to age, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things to their body. They're taking all kinds of crazy things to make them feel better. See, the Lord is not concerned with us feeling better as much as he is concerned with us being better. And being better, a result of being better, is feeling better. You can feel better and not be better. And I know firsthand, because I was a drug abuser and I felt really good when I was taking drugs all the time, but I wasn't better. But I felt better for the moment. Okay, enough of that. Consider, think about that. Because if you are so in tune with the emotion, you can miss truth. If you're basing things on how it feels, yeah. Exactly, not the emotion or the feeling. Very good. Hey, one last thing. I forgot. I wanted to just say a couple things about the month of Adar that we entered last Monday. And look at the handout, too, when you get a chance. And it's interesting. Here it says, it's a time to celebrate that your curse is overturned. I thought that was so cool in context to what we talked about healing last Sunday. And the curse. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here shortly. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Is that what it was? The anointing was so heavy, he just pushed you right down in the chair. Bless the Lord. Well, since I already earlier gave all the announcements and a couple other words, let's just get right into the word this morning. I'm going to continue a bit from last week talking about healing. You don't want me to talk about it? No, I said you don't want me talking about it. Before I do that, matter of fact, if you have a Bible with you, you can go to Genesis 1, 2, or 3. Just pick one of those. We'll reference it probably most of the morning. But before we really begin, I want to say this. I'm not going to repeat everything and rehearse or review, in other words, stuff that I talked about last week, except for a few specific passages, because I think they're very important. But I want to say this on the outset. Every one of us knows somebody that is sick, ill, has a disease, and I'm sure we all know people that have died, good people, Christians, believers that have died. And so the things that I'm talking about is no condemnation. It's not a sin to get sick. Our bodies are susceptible. The main thing I want to talk about and really impart is probably a good word, is what the Word of God says. Specifically in the area of healing. And as I mentioned last week, even with John chapter 9, when he was asked about the cripple man, since he was born crippled, and his disciples said, who sinned, his parents or him? And I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus says. Don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. Let's be about the Father's business. Let's bring healing to this man. Jesus spent very little to almost zero time talking about why people were sick, why people got a disease. Now, it was revealed in his healing many times when he said, now go and sin no more. Or in other things, other ways that he brought healing. But he didn't spend time, and I think we spend too much time on trying to figure out why we got sick instead of just knowing that God wants us to be healed. And seeking and pursuing healing. Now, this is an extremely important fact that we must be very careful about, and that's not to allow our experiences, negative, positive, or otherwise, dictate what we believe is truth. We measure all truth by what the Word of God says. Or at least we should. So that ties into what I was saying a little earlier with our emotions, because our emotions will lie to us. We can feel good and go right to hell. I think since I brought that up earlier this morning, I think we may talk about that real soon. Emotions, emotional response, and bring some clarification to some of that. So let's not allow our experiences to justify what we believe. Even though I know of people and loved ones that have been sick, ill, diseased, people that love the Lord, born again, and they died of their sickness, that experience does not justify what I believe and what the Word of God says. People get sick. Our bodies, matter of fact, the Bible's very plain about this, that we still have an enemy, and it's the last enemy that will be put under the feet of Jesus, and that's death. There's nothing you or I are going to do to stop death. Now, our culture is trying to prolong it with all kinds of medications and stuff and make people look like they're 30 when they're 80. and those types of things, but we can't stop death. Death is an enemy. But let's not always equate dying with a sickness or an illness or a disease. Because we cannot validate that by Scripture either. And that has been, until recently, a wrong belief that I had. Because I used to make the statement all the time, well, we all have to die of something, meaning that when we get old and our body breaks down, we're going to contract some kind of illness or something. When actually Scripture shows more times where people just died. God, in Genesis 6, God put a limit on life, 120 years. He made boundaries. Now, there are people, it's not like it's an exact, a little over. A lot of times people die a lot younger than that, obviously. But here's what I'm going to believe, because what the Word says, that I can die because my body just wears out and it was time. That I don't have to die of some sickness or some illness. We need to really get the Word of God in us. Again, I can't say this enough, that in our culture and our society, we have so much availability of the Word of God, but we're very shallow in the truth of it. And I think healing is one of the areas where the enemy's been robbing the body of Christ from, stealing our health. He came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose of coming, to pervert everything that God created, to pervert everything that Jesus restored for us, to rob from us, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. We have many more scriptures to prove that God has provided healing for us than otherwise. And it's still fascinating to me how many Christians don't believe that. And I personally believe that one of the ways is bad teaching, but it's also just experience. And I believe that we have applied the Word of God incorrectly when it comes to healing. Because we typically say, well, God hasn't healed me yet, or God is, we are expecting God to do something else for our healing. Well, we've already began in the wrong place. Because Scripture is very plain. 2 Peter says that God's already done everything we need for life and God. He's already supplied everything that we need. The cross, Jesus didn't die on a cross just for salvation, which is huge. Even if it was just that, it was enough. But the Bible is very plain in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Let's read that passage together. Surely our griefs, the word griefs there is illness, sickness, and disease. Surely our illnesses, sicknesses, and disease he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried away. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, our sin and rebelliousness. He was crushed for our iniquities, the guilt and the punishment. The chastening for our shalom, our well-being, fell upon him. What does shalom mean? It means much more than peace. Wholeness and completeness. What Jesus did on the cross was complete and total restoration. The only enemy that is yet to be conquered or abolished is death. That's it. Everything else he's restored. So when God created, when he created the worlds, did he create sickness, disease, illness? No, of course not. When you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, does this age end up with sickness and illness and disease? No, as a matter of fact, it says that the curse is going to be done away with. There will no longer be any curse. Last chapter of the book of Revelation. Creation started with no curse, and it is going to end up with no curse. And Jesus paid the price in the middle, so he will free us from the curse of the law. The Bible says in Romans 8, I think it's verse 2, says, it's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from what? Does anybody know? The law of sin and death. God has made provision for everything. What's the provision for death? That we'll live forever even though we die. He didn't forget about death. He's made provision for everything. Every illness, every sickness, every disease, every ailment of mind, of body, of spirit. Death itself, because Jesus overcame hell, death, and the grave. And all those who put their faith in him and become born again are going to do what? Overcome hell, death, and the grave, and we're going to live forever with him. God's made provision for everything. We got to get the word on the inside of us. Even in Deuteronomy, it says the Lord will remove some of your sickness from you. No, it says all. And he will not put on any of you harmful diseases of Egypt. I love what David says. Now, this is before the cross. David in Psalm 103 says this, in one breath, no periods, who pardons all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. He didn't say and heals all your diseases, well, except cancer, because that's a tough one. He didn't say that. He said all the diseases, HIV, cancer, AIDS, it doesn't matter what it is. Do you know it's just as easy for healing of a headache as it is to grow out a limb? It's just as easy. You know, when I first started talking about casting out demons years ago and then even practicing that, people are like, oh my God, like that takes some, it doesn't take any more faith to cast out a demon than it does for anything else, really. It's our perception of it. Oh gosh, whoa, hey, woo. Raising of the dead. We've seen two people raised from the dead, physically dead. It doesn't take any more faith to raise somebody from the dead. You know why? Because I can't raise anybody from the dead to begin with. Can't heal anybody either. Matthew 8:17. Matthew, here's New Testament. The apostle Matthew quotes Isaiah. Jesus is healing people. He's in Capernaum. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He's healing everybody that's brought to him. And here's what Matthew says about that in verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah. Notice how Matthew words Isaiah 53, which we just read. He himself took our infirmities and he carried away our diseases. First Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. We are healed. Whole. Made whole. Now here's the thing. Provision has been made. Doesn't mean you are healed. Just like it doesn't mean that because Jesus died on the cross, you are saved. But provision has been made. Which means what? We have to do something. We have to receive the gift. We have to respond to the gift, to what God, what Christ has accomplished for us, the provision that he has made. So healing is a provision that is just as much part of the finished work of the cross as salvation is. Why do I believe that? Why do we believe that? Because the Bible says it. It doesn't mince words. It's very plain. It's very clear. So let me ask you this question. So if we deny that healing is a provision made as a finished work of the cross, are we then denying part of what Jesus accomplished? Well, of course, we are. We're denying part of the finished work of the cross. What was God's original intent when in creation? What was his original intent for man? Be fruitful and multiply? Fill the earth? What else? Relationship with God? What else? Subdue and rule? What else? He created a garden. A pleasure, an enclosure of pleasure and delight Eden means pleasure and delight. He put everything in there that man needs. And he said one thing not to do. Just one. How many of you have kids that you have, when you raised your kids, you just told them one thing not to do? And the whole time you raised them? No. Some kids, the first word they learn is no, because they've heard it so much. But God spoke one thing. Everything was available to man. He made what? The trees and the fruit for what? Food. He made, the Bible says that even in the Garden of Eden, there's all kinds of precious gems and gold, and he made so much stuff for us to enjoy. If you look at Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, it tells really the whole story when you match it with the last three chapters of Revelation. We're going to end up in a beautiful situation with streets of gold. We have to understand if we're somewhere where, you know, when I get confused sometimes or trying to figure out God or how, I usually always go back to the beginning and how God originally intended for things to be. And that's where I start my belief system and then go to find out what did Jesus actually accomplish on the cross. But it's amazing to me how many of these things that we've been blinded to. Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will no longer be any death, no longer be any mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Revelation 22:2 says, On either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. But here's some really good news. Jesus already shed his blood, crucified on the cross, so we do not have to receive the effects of the curse in this life. Do you believe that? You don't have to raise your hand. Did you go to Genesis? Yep. Back to Matthew. Sorry, I've got you going all over the place. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, he said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. There's a word in there that's repeated several times. What was this conversation with Satan about? Aren't you allowed to eat freely from everything in here? The woman says, yeah, we can eat from everything, except we're not supposed to eat the fruit of that tree that's in the middle of the garden. So what is this conversation? Was it wrapping around? What was the physical act that it speaks about? Talks about eating. Right? Now we know that Adam and Eve ate the fruit from a tree they weren't supposed to eat. Have you ever thought about this? Like, they didn't commit adultery. They didn't commit murder. They just simply ate something that they were not supposed to eat. Have you really ever just thought of that? Just the plain eating something. I mean, mom says, hey, I don't eat any cookies before dinner, and you just take one. This wasn't, you know, it was no committing an act of homosexuality. It wasn't stealing from the IRS because it's tax time. Oh, I just thought I'd throw that out. It wasn't murder. It wasn't they forgot to obey the Sabbath. It was simply they ate something they weren't supposed to eat. They disobeyed, they sinned, but I think we have focused so much on that sin and disobedience, and we should, because it's valid. They did something they weren't supposed to do. But I think there's another message here for us. Because they ate something that they weren't supposed to eat. They ingested something that got on the inside of them that had adverse effect, not only for them, but for all of creation. The serpent said in verse 4, you surely will not die, for God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I'm going to take a break from this and I just want to share something. And then we're going to come right back to this, but it has at least some relevance. How many remember... There's five key things that I've shared in the past that's in our class too that will help for correct Bible interpretation. Does anybody remember that? I'll go over them. Nobody? Okay, so a few. The first question when we are, you know, learning scripture and learning to discern scripture interpret accurately is the first thing is who's talking? Who's actually speaking? Then who are they speaking to? What's the third? What are they talking about? What are they speaking about? What's the topic at hand? What is number four? Cultural relevance. What's the cultural relevance of the day? That helps us. The fifth one, really important. What other scriptures have to say about the same thing. We as humans, and I think we in the body of Christ, are really, really good at taking scripture out of context, like one scripture, and using it in several different areas or for different purposes. I think one of the reasons why we have done that is because the whole verse of the day thing, take a verse of the day or focus on just one verse, and we quote these things and then we bring it out of context. Like one of the ones that come to mind, because it's so popular, is wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. I've heard this since I've been a baby Christian. I still hear it today, and I've never heard it in context. Not once. And here's the fascinating thing. There's only really one scripture that says that. And typically we'll do it at the beginning of a service. And we'll say, oh, where two or three are gathered together, there the Lord. Well, what does that mean? He's not with me when I'm by myself. I got to get somebody else. No, because when you read that in context in Matthew 18, he's talking about judgment and he's talking about a brother in sin. And if you don't know what to do with the brother in sin, then two or three of the elders of the congregation, if they would come together, I will be there in your midst and I'll give you the wisdom. I'll let you know what to do with them. But we've taken these things out of context. And we've done this with numerous amounts of scripture. There is a principle that is weaved through scripture. It's a kingdom principle that I want to add to the fifth one where it says, if there's any, you know, other scriptures, what do other scriptures have to say about it? What I'm about to tell you, you'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it as part of the law. You'll find it in the New Testament. And it actually goes along with what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered. It's part of that principle. And that is that every truth must be confirmed on two or three witnesses. Every truth must be confirmed on two or three witnesses. This will also help in Bible interpretation. Because there are some things that happened one time. There's no other. We're really good about taking some obscure scriptures and making doctrines over them. We really are. It's an interesting thing. And in this year of the sword, and what I mentioned earlier, that I believe the Lord wants us to be more and more accurate and skillful with the Word of God. And He's just been pointing out so many. Some things are very small. I share them with some people, and it's like, well, that's not that big of a deal. It's not. No, it is significant. If I'm quoting Scripture and I'm adding a word or taking a word or putting a different meaning, that's big. That's a big deal. And I've done that in a lot of different things, and the Lord is bringing attention to these things. I'm actually having fun doing that. I love being corrected with the Lord because I want to be right. I want to be as accurate as possible when it comes to the Word of God. So every fact needs to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. This is why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, and you're going to release a judgment on this brother that's in sin. Because that's a kingdom principle. The two or three. Does everybody understand? Grab that. So you'll find that through Scripture too. Instead of one obscure Scripture that there's nothing else like it anywhere. That's why number five in interpreting Scripture is important. What do other Scriptures have to say about it? Because we also need two or three Scriptures. Now, that's why with healing it's so huge, because it's Old Testament, it's New Testament, it's beginning, it's end. What God's desire for us to be healed is all through Scripture. There's many more than just two or three Scriptures that validate that truth. There's a ton that validate that. I love one of the things Renee does when, especially with a believer. Now, unbelievers or new believers may not know this, but somebody that's been walking with the Lord for a while and they come to Renee, she typically does this when they, would you pray for me? And maybe it's happened to some of you. She'll ask this question. I think it's great. What Scriptures are you standing on? So if you don't know what the Scripture says, what are you putting faith in? If you don't even know what God said. You guys are quiet. We have to know what the Word of God says. See, God will allow you to keep your sickness if you want it. He will allow you to die from it if you want to. He will allow you to go to hell if you want to. He will. He'll do everything that He can. He's already done everything to provide eternal life, freedom, hope, release from the curse, the law of sin and death. And the enemy does everything he can to bring a deception and to cloak things. So let's go back. That was just a commercial break. And we'll possibly close with this, which doesn't really mean much. Doesn't mean that it's coming in the next minute or two. But I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, that this whole thing, yes, it was disobedience, yes, it was sin, but it revolved around eating. They ate something that was not good for them. God said it was not good for them. Matter of fact, God even told them, if you eat this, here's going to be the result. You're going to die. Now that's interesting too, because there were two types of death. There's spiritual and there's physical. Did they die physically immediately? No, they did not. It took some time. This is also a deception that sin, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I remember when I was a young Christian, it was like, oh gosh, I just sinned. I was expecting immediate consequence. Anybody else like that when you were first born? It's like, oh my gosh, you know, is there lightning? What's going to happen? Am I going to die now? You know, Lord, please forgive me. But many of our actions, consequences are prolonged. Just like here, they ate something, but it also released what? A spirit of death. But they didn't die physically immediately, but they were now going to die. And in their case, it was hundreds of years later. But they died spiritually immediately. Yes. Yep. Exactly. Consumption, that's really good. Yeah, it's not always food. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm going to talk specifically for the last few minutes about food. Physical food. I think food is probably one of the least talked about in a healthy biblical way in our culture when the Bible has a lot to say about food. As a matter of fact, my dad's Lebanese, so I'm half Lebanese. In the Middle Eastern Lebanese culture, we celebrate food. When I used to go to my aunts and uncles and my grandmother when I was before she died, like I was 5 or 6 years old. Oh, honey, you look so pale. You're so skinny. You got to eat some more. And then when you are so stuffed, they push more food. It's just the Lebanese way, man. It's just, but if you look in our culture, even among Christians, we celebrate food. I mean, who the heck started eating cake for birthdays? I still haven't figured that one out. But anyway, that just was a fleeting thought. Huh? Yeah, Google it. But I think gluttony and overeating is really not looked at as a sin. It's really looked at as something to be celebrated. Hey, did you get full? Oh, I'm full. I'm stuffed. Oh, yeah. We smile, especially men. You know, we pat our, yeah, right, we ate a lot. Yeah. As soon as I burp, we're going to eat some more. Yeah, we'll eat. Yeah, take some of that and we'll eat some more. I'm going to get up and I'm going to eat some more. I mean, I might be a little over dramatizing that, but isn't it true in our society about food? And I mean, God created food. He created our body to need food. We need food. But let's remember that the first sin was revolved around something they ate, which caused a curse, which caused death. Just interesting. Some thoughts, some things to think about. So let's talk about it a little bit more. I don't know if you remember this. I know some of you weren't here. But at the beginning of the year, or maybe beginning of winter, I can't remember exactly when it was. But I felt like the Lord gave me a word, and I shared it with all of you. And He said, build your immune system. Do you remember that? Now, when I heard Him say that, I immediately thought about our natural physical bodies and our immune system. And I've been doing that with supplements and with other things that Renee makes me eat. Because I would be a complete disaster when it comes to food if it wasn't for Renee. I just have to tell you, I would. Yeah, I'd probably be in a hospital, to be quite honest, with the way I like to eat. And so I've been doing that personally for my body, but then I felt like, you know, and I shared this too, that I felt like the Lord was also saying that in a spiritual context. To build our immunity to Him. So our bodies are created to function a certain way with certain nutrients, vitamins, and minerals. I'm not going to talk too much about this because I'll get into areas I don't even know what I'm talking about. But I do know that much. That our bodies need certain nutrients and certain minerals, nutrition, to function correctly. One of the things that a lot of our foods do is actually destroys our immune system. It doesn't build it up. And it's no wonder why so many people are sick all of the time or get more and more sick, because our immune systems have been really depleted. We're not eating the right things to build those immune systems up. Now, I've mentioned this dozens of times, but when I had kidney stones, one of the things the Lord spoke to me was to start taking magnesium. Well, I started researching, and I still do it because I forget what magnesium does. Magnesium is an amazing mineral that every part of your body needs magnesium, and how little magnesium people actually get. So I started seeing, after researching some of this, even the wisdom of God, even your wife, you just gave your wife more work. Yeah. So magnesium was one of the things that the Lord spoke to me, and I've been taking even more magnesium supplements and trying to be conscious of even the foods. But looking at all of the foods, I'll wait till everybody's distraction's over.
Speaking of food.
Yeah. Was that coffee? Coffee will keep you from getting Alzheimer's. It is, God made that, man. That's second to water. Oh, thanks for sharing. Moving right along. Okay. Is everybody halfway back? All right. Yeah, magnesium. And so, thank you. I forgot about the magnesium. And that's just one thing. And how it affects so many parts, our nervous system, our heart, so many different muscles, our sleeplessness. I mean, magnesium is so good for nearly every part of our body. And when you do some research on this, you find out that most Americans are depleted of magnesium. What's that? No. So, and that's just one mineral. So there's all kinds of things out here. And, you know, Renee and Crystal and Marie, I mean, wow. I mean, if somebody knows about food, and Cherie and these things. But I just, in this whole context of healing, food plays a vital, vital part in the health of our body. And when we aren't eating right, we can expect, just like Adam and Eve, if you eat this, you're going to die. Now, I'm not saying because you eat McDonald's every day. Well, maybe I am. But there's so many things, some knowledge about the way we eat now, because our culture's changed, and fast food and where they're getting food and GMOs and all of these kinds of things in our ground and not having right crop root, all of this stuff is affecting us. Our environment, our foods are affecting us, and there are some things we can do to stay healthy. Does anybody know, if you go to the CDC's website, the number one killer of Americans? Does anybody know what that is? It's heart disease. The number one aspect of heart disease that kills most Americans. Does anybody know what that is? I don't know what you call it, but I can describe it. Yeah, it's plaque buildup in the arteries, which is what? A result of diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Does anybody know what the number two killer now is? It's cancer. Which, much of that is diet and environmental. Diet and environmental. Does anybody now know what number three? This one's tricky because it just jumped up from seven. It's diabetes. Diabetes is on the rise and afflicting more and more people. And then all the top three are diet and food related. Isn't that interesting? And God told us right in creation And I think we've missed a lot of times about it was eating. It was what they ate. Now, we can take all kinds of different truths from that. Spiritual eating, digesting, knowledge, all of these kinds of things, which is good, which is healthy. But I think because of our culture and where we're at and how we celebrate overeating and eating just anything and fast foods, and we're always in a hurry and we're cramming this stuff down us and that stuff. And you know, sweets? You go to a lot of other countries. It's amazing. You can't find really good quality sweets. In a lot of places, there's some places that do, but like, you know, the places I go, they're not like really good, sweet, just some junk. You know what I mean? You just want some sweet junk. But here, it's on like nearly every corner. And there's like zero nutrition. It actually depletes your body of nutrition when you're eating sweets. It's just amazing that our diet, and all I want to say about this is we've got to pay attention to what we're cramming down in our mouth as food-wise. I'll never forget this. I've mentioned this before, but it's funny, but it's sad. Some time ago, Renee was up here. We were praying for people, and a lady came up. She's not here now, so don't worry. It's not one of you. And said, "Hey, I got this cough. I would you pray for me for this cough?" Well, she smelled like a smoking oven. Well, how about we start with stop smoking? I mean, smoking is one of the most unnatural things I think we can do when it comes to putting something in our mouth. This also lends to heart disease because it constricts the blood vessels. But there's so many things. You know, I think about even when I was a motorcycle mechanic, I had no understanding of toxins and all of this junk. I had this toxic chemical. It came in a 20-gallon can. It was for cleaning carburetors. I mean, you could put carburetors in a bank of four carburetors. I can dunk it down in there. 5 minutes later, I picked up and it was like spotless. I had rubber gloves to do that, but so many times I just stuck my hand down in there. Yeah, I know. Breathe the fumes, gas, and all of the carbon dioxide, all this kind of junk. I'm on a plane to India. If you ever go to India, you need to be aware of this. India is one of the only countries, but there's more countries than that. Wherever you connect, like I connected in Paris going to India, before that plane takes off, the stewards and stewardesses walk down the aisles with two cans of disinfectant and fumigate while you're sitting there. Last year when I went, I was completely shocked. I was like, what in the world is this? I pulled all kinds of stuff over me just to help. I bought a mask this time. I forgot to wear it. I specifically went out and got a mask. I had it in my carry-on. It was in the over... I just forgot. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I'm dozing anyway. I hear, shh. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're coming. And I'm seat-belted like that. Oh no. And I put all kinds of stuff over me for a long time. Yeah. Oh man. And here's another thing that you may not realize when you fly internationally. Because some flights going to India, you have to be sitting there for them to fumigate. Others, you don't have to be sitting. So they fumigate that plane before you get in it. I don't know what it is, but... And here's the thing, the stewards, they're just walking. How many times a day or week do they do that? Breathe in this. And we wonder, and that's just an example, and we do stuff like this all of the time, and we wonder why people are sick. I mean, some of the toxic chemicals we're cleaning our homes with and all of these things. I remember those mosquito trucks when I was younger. Yeah, we used to follow them. I'm surprised, you know, going in the military and getting shot with only God knows what so many times and the stuff. I'm surprised I'm not glowing now. But one of the things you can do, and I want to just go back to this, and we'll close. We kind of got off track, or I got us, whatever. Is building our immune system. So some of these things, our body, God made a wonderful piece of equipment here. to heal itself. To there are some things it just won't heal by itself, but there are a lot of things that it will. There's a lot of things if we have built up immune systems, but because of you just drive at any lunchtime and look at how packed some of these McDonald's and some of these fast every day. Sodas. They put like packs on their back now. I'm just kidding. There's just these big sodas that have zero nutrition, that are full of sugar, that our bodies can't digest. I mean, it's so many things. And I really think that maybe we need to have Renee and some of the others just share on some health and eating correctly to be healthy, to get healthy. And I think so often we're praying and God is wanting to communicate to us. He's already communicated in His Word about our eating habits and what we're eating. I know He's been using Renee to talk to me about that for years now. And that's why. You know, it's okay to eat certain things and have a piece of cake, whatever. But we're talking about constant diets of this stuff and eating this all of the time. It's very unhealthy to our bodies, depleting our immune system. We are in a sedentary lifestyle anymore. People are behind desks, sitting at home. Kids are on couches playing all kinds of stuff, not getting the exercise, not getting the movement. And we wonder why so much oppression, so much depression. God's created our body, and that's just a few things, being overweight, and that the extra weight on our bodies causing other problems as well. So that's all I really need to say about this, because if I say too much, I'll get in way over my head. But I do know that the Lord is speaking to us about the food that we're eating, and eating right and eating correctly and building our immune system, because that was a word that He gave us, to share. So when it comes to healing, God's already provided it. Can I just run down a few things? I don't know if I'll talk about this much next week or not. I think the more we hear it, because we're all, we've heard so many salvation messages from the cross, that those who have been Christians for any length of time, we got that. We understand it. But how many times have we heard messages over and over and over about the healing and all that, the healing that got provision that God made from the cross and all of the other provisions? And so hearing this and getting it into our minds so it can get into our hearts and we can get revelation on it. And again, I want to say this about revelation. You will never get revelation by hearing a message preached. You won't. You've got to get into the Word of God for yourself. You've got to get faith. You have to believe it because God said it, not because your favorite preacher said it. You read it in a book. It will be great knowledge. It's a help. It's a start. When I hear messages preached, what I want to do with that message is now I got to find out in the Word for myself. I got to get it in for myself. This whole thing on healing started from my conversation in India with another pastor that didn't believe in healing and said God doesn't heal everybody. And so I got even more into the Word to get, let's share this, because this is a big issue in the body of Christ when it comes to healing and physical healing. And we think that God is using healing to punish us or teach us a lesson. What kind of warped? That's coming from the pit of hell. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed, and God's trying to make them sick to give Jesus business. I mean, what is the bizarre? He started off with a whole, with us being whole. We're going to end up with us being whole. That's both God's will. Jesus died on the cross, took whips on His back so we can be healed. The question is not, does God heal? It's He has already provided healing for us. It's not a matter of if. The matter is, how does He want to bring healing? Which begs the question and the understanding of hearing the voice of God. Which I think, from at least my experience, is one of the least taught things in the body of Christ. We'll teach all kinds of prayer, how to pray, but we teach very little on how to actually hear accurately the voice of God. I mean, what's the sense of learning to pray if we can't recognize His voice? I mean, that's what prayer is all about. Communication with the Lord. Why do I say that? Why do I say that it's not a question of if? Because we've already proved that by the word, but it's a question of how. Because Jesus, when he healed people, he didn't heal people the same way every time. The method was different. Not every time, but there's a lot of different ways we can be healed. There's as many different ways we can be healed. There's more different ways that we could be healed than we got sick. And getting sick is not the sin. It's not the, that's not the issue. It's getting healed. Let's focus on getting healed. Let me just run down a few things. This might be a little shocking. I don't know. But don't believe anything I've say. Believe it because the Word of God says. I can't remember one time when Jesus was going to heal somebody. The only time I know that he did this was when he raised Lazarus from the dead, was that he prayed. Now, I have a different perspective on prayer than traditional, because I don't think prayer is just, you know, you being quiet and you talking to, I believe prayer is constant. It's all day. I believe prayer is coming right here because we're filled with the Spirit. God is speaking to us even now. We're communicating with Him. We are praying all the time without ceasing. We pray in groups as, even as we're discussing, God's right there in the middle. But what did Jesus do? He spoke a word. The Bible says that Jesus only did what He saw the Father do, and He only said what He heard the Father say. So that means when Jesus spit on the ground and made mud and put it on the guy's eyes, that means that he saw God do that, or he heard God tell him to do that. Because he only did what he saw the Father do, and he only said what he heard him say. So when he said, go and your sins have been healed, or however he healed, brought healing, it was because he heard God say it, or he saw God do it. Which, the most important aspect is hearing the voice of God. What is God? Because God can tell you to go to the hospital, doctor, get surgery. He can tell you all kinds of ways to get healed. But here's what we've done. I know I've said this before, but I want to keep saying it because it, to me, it's a huge problem when it comes to healing. We have so trained people that healing comes one way. And I'm talking about a church context. Come to me. Cindy's not feeling well. Come to me. Come to the elders of church. Come to whoever. Get somebody to pray for you. Lord, would you heal that person? Now, there's people that have been healed that way. I don't want to say that God doesn't heal that way. But when we have narrowed it down to that's the way, and then walk away, well, I'm not healed. Then we come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, I guess God doesn't heal everybody. I guess God wants to teach me something. I guess what? When all we did was do a prayer, when Jesus never healed anyone like that. Neither did disciples. He didn't heal anybody like that. He didn't teach it. And the disciples, but we're doing it. That's why I say that if we think that God has to do something else to bring our healing, we're starting at the wrong place. Because it's a finished work of the cross. So that's settled. Now it's how. And I've had God tell me to call the doctor before, call the hospital. I've had him tell me to do, I mean, he could tell you to do whatever. But we need to hear accurately from the Lord, because that's the way we're going to receive healing, and not just assume. Faith begins where the will of God is known, not presumption. It's not what I think it is. It's what is God saying. We are to have a relationship with the God, which means it's fluid. If we would get healed every way that time, that means it's some kind of formula. It's some kind of just formulaic method. Just do this and you'll be all right. It's a religious formula. We have a relationship with God, and developing our relationship with God and learning to talk and to hear and listen and recognize His voice. And we can recognize His voice more and more accurately as we are growing with the Lord. But typically, we just want microwave Christianity. Just pray for me so it all goes away. Typically, what's preached most often is get born again. When you read the Bible, it's not just get born again, but also become Christ-like. Now it's becoming sanctified, becoming righteous and holy in act and deed. All right, I keep deviating. Well, I just want to say one last thing, I think. And I've heard this many, many times, and I understand it, but I just want to ask you to think about this for a second. Because when things don't work out, like in healing or somebody doesn't get healed or whatever, not only are we looking for excuses, but we're looking for reasons, and we're looking for reasons and we're looking for excuses. And I've heard this a number of times, and this has just come up recently. Well, death was the ultimate healing. How many of you heard that? Death is the ultimate healing. Well, they didn't get healed in this life, but they died. Now that's the ultimate healing. Well, I just want to ask the question, what about the unbeliever? I mean, their hell just began, no pun intended. I understand the feeling, and there is part of that. Okay, that's true, because they're not going to be sick in heaven. If they're a believer, they've been walking with the Lord. They're not going to be sick. But what about the unbeliever? So is it as much of an excuse as it is truth? And that's just for you to think about. I'm not trying to say one way or the other. Because bottom line, every one of us has to make our own mind up on what the Word of God says and what are we actually going to believe. When I brought up healing in India, one of the things that the other guy didn't like was, and he said this, he said, "You made me feel like I have to figure out some kind of riddle, like how God is speaking for me to be healed. And then it makes me feel like, you know, the people that have already died." And I said, well, one of the things I said, which is better? To say that to somebody that's sick, well, don't let anybody ever tell you that God heals everyone, because he doesn't, and steal their hope. And now they're living, now this wouldn't with Crystal, because she's more of a mature Christian than that. She knows the Word. But to steal somebody's hope, and thinking, I may not be the lucky lottery winner. And however long I have to live now, knowing that I may just suffer the rest of my time. What you really did is, to some, is you just sucked their hope, which is their faith. Now, which is better, to do that, or to say that God's already provided it, and there's a way for you to be healed, and instill hope? And encourage people to get into the Word and learn. So I prefer the second way. And mainly because it's just the Word. It's true. This is why for a long time now, when we have prayer at the end of the service and I ask for you to pray, and I've mentioned this more than more, because remember, you know, a few years back, the Lord said, "Why do you ask me to heal people?" And I got into the Word and I found out Jesus never did it, never taught it, all of this. So I've changed. See, when God speaks to you and you get revelation on the Word, you know what? You are now responsible to line up for that, to what he just shared. And then I encourage not just to pray some prayer. People aren't healed by your many words. We're healed by hearing what God has to say. It could be one word. And practice. This is practicing hearing what God has to say and releasing God's Word over people. Because sometimes when we're going through trials, sufferings, man, I've been in just chaos sometimes where I can't tell if my feet are up or down. We need one another. Or been so sick, I hate getting nauseated or sick. Sometimes you get so sick and it's like, I can't pray for myself. I need people. I need somebody. I can't, I'm in too much pain to hear accurately. Is that true? Yeah. We need one another. So this is not like a condemnation. It's not that you have to go out and figure out what God is. We need one another to pray for each other, to speak God's will over, to speak the word. And you know what we can always do? If we can't even hear what God is saying and we don't know what God is saying, we already know what he said. Let's start there. We can speak these scriptures and decree these scriptures over us. And we can speak them. Just like I said, even with the what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, and that was just an eye-opening thing to me. I know some of you already got that, but to me it was eye-opening. Jesus never one time used the word may your kingdom come. No, he said your kingdom come. It was a statement. It was a decree. He didn't say, God, would you say, Father, please forgive us. He didn't add the word please. He just said, Father, forgive us. When it came to food, he didn't ask God, would you please give us our dinner? The word please isn't even in the prayer. That hits religious minds like crazy. You usually say pretty please? Yeah, double, kind of. That's good. With sugar on top? As we close, just so you kind of know, I want everybody healed. No matter what they're dealing with. Whether it's mental, spiritual, physical, I want everybody. I believe that's what God said. And I'm willing to pray and continue praying and stand until you are. And I said all that to me, just because you were prayed for one time, let's keep hitting this. Let's keep hitting this until every one of us are healed and every one of us are out there as agents of healing and bringing healing to our workplace and our neighborhoods. You want to see revival? That'll bring people to the Lord. That's what I loved about what was happening in India. You know, all these fascinating testimonies of healing and demons being cast out and crazy. It was first century stuff. And I believe that's available for all of us. It was all happening. It's because Jesus, in the midst of all the idols, you remember, even in Matthew 16, he's standing at Caesarea Philippi, where every idol and every other thing is worshipped. And who am I in the midst of here, of these, and compared to all of these other idols, who am I? And in India, people are seeing miracles, and people are just believing because that's what God said. And Jesus is standing out above all, because no other idol, no other God can do the things that he can do. So how many of you are, if you're dealing with any kind of a prolonged illness, sickness, even if you have a headache, your eyes been bothering you, it doesn't matter how little or how great that it is. It's the same faith that God can heal a headache from. I think sometimes we see miracles with cancer and all kinds of crazy stuff. Can't get healed of the common cold sometimes. It's weird. Would you please stand if you would like prayer? Those of you that have Christ living in you, you are an